It's Saturday, the 16th of May, day 56. Predictable Surprises, The Disasters You Should Have Seen Coming, is the title of a book by Max Bazeman and Michael Watkins, two business school professors, that was published 10 years ago. In it, they argue that while the world is an unpredictable place, unpredictability is not necessarily the problem. The problem is that faced with clear risks, we still fail to act. For Watkins, the coronavirus pandemic is the ultimate predictable surprise. It's not like this is some new issue, he told Tim Harford of the Financial Times, before showing him the notes for a case study he ran at Harvard. The notes are, says Harford, eerily prescient. A shortage of masks, a scramble for social distance, leaders succumbing to the illness. All the stuff we know about now. And the date on the case study notes? October 12, 2002, nearly 18 years ago. Now, hindsight is famously the only exact science, and the wisdom obtained from it is correspondingly suspect. Often it's indistinguishable from hypocrisy. But as we grapple with the pandemic, we have become depressingly aware of how most of our societies failed to take seriously enough the threat of a virus like this. And the annoying thing is that, unlike Donald Trump, for example, we cannot plead ignorance. Most of us may not have been paying much attention, but the people who understand disease and epidemiology have been warning about this danger for years and years. And as late as last October, for example, a board set up by the World Health Organization and the World Bank published a report warning of the need to manage, quotes, the fallout of a high-impact respiratory pathogen, unquote. But nothing happened. Why? Now, Mr. Hartford is, by his own admission, no smarter than the rest of us. In mid-February, he interviewed a leading academic epidemiologist about the coronavirus. She told him that it would likely prove impossible to contain it, in which case it might well infect more than half of the world's population. Her best guess of the fatality rate at the time was a little under 1%, which meant something like 50 million deaths worldwide. Mr. Harford nodded and went about his business. I did not, he wrote, sell my shares. I did not buy masks. I didn't even stock up on spaghetti. Psychologists call this inaction in the face of disaster normalcy bias. We habitually do nothing until it's too late. Partly that's because we tend to take our cues from other people. But other sorts of cognitive biases are also at work. For example, there's optimism bias, a sense that while bad things happen, they don't happen to me. We see this all the time. It was evident in the Hurricane Katrina disaster that overwhelmed New Orleans, for example. And it was optimism bias that nearly did for Boris Johnson, as he boasted about going round a COVID ward in a hospital shaking hands with patients. And then there's a kind of cultural bias. The fact that this pandemic started in China played some role in this. After all, China is a long way away. And it takes a special kind of person to imagine that what happened there might soon happen here. That kind of person is called an epidemiologist. The rest of us have only now begun to realise that in the world we have built, if a pathogen exists anywhere, we have to assume that it will be everywhere eventually, unless we act swiftly. And finally, another human failing that we never seem to be able to overcome is that the vast majority of people apparently cannot understand exponential growth. And this goes back a long, long way. There's that ancient parable about the man who invented the game of chess. His friend brought him before the emperor and told him about the game. The emperor was blown away, and he told the inventor that he could have any reward he wanted. The inventor said, "Excellency, I would like you to place a grain of rice on the first square of my board, and 2 grains on the second square, and 4 grains on the third, and so on until you reach the 64th square." The surprised emperor readily agreed. He didn't realise that by the time he got to the 64th square, the pile of rice would be as big as Mount Everest. I remember thinking of this fable the day that Donald Trump said there were only 15 cases in the US and that he liked those numbers. Oh, and 2 to the power of 64, by the way, is a 20-digit number. You could maybe call it a Google.